Four in here? Okay. That's Kelly? Oh, okay. Up at the revival. Okay. Well, it's like, man, I've heard this somewhere. Ooh, there goes a sermon. Well, that's a sign from God. Okay. Praise God. Well, how many are ready for the Word? How many today are standing and believing for something that you have waited on a while? And you're believing God, and you're still standing, and you're still believing, and you're still knowing that God is faithful. Amen. How many know that God is faithful? Yes. Waymaker. Oh, man, I could sing that song. In fact, boys, change that communion song to that song. Change that to that song, okay? All in agreement, say aye. Okay. Those opposed? Oh, my goodness. What, did I miss somebody? It doesn't matter. That's what we're going to do. Oh, my goodness. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews chapter 3. I'm sorry, Hebrews chapter 11, starting with verse 3. How many love the book of Hebrews? The book of Hebrews is probably one of my favorite books. It's the compilation of and the summation of all the Old Testament, the Gospels, just boom, and God just has a place that He wraps it up in a bow, and He gives us the truth of the Old Testament, the New Testament, and all the efficacious work of Christ and what He did. And it's all in Hebrews wrapped up in the greatest epistle I think ever written. Hebrews chapter 11. Oh, everybody knows where we're going there. We're all word people here, so we know where we're at. Let's go ahead and start with verse number 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, for by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. So God called things that do not out of nothing, He called something. So when God said, let there be light, He called out of nothing visible, He called the invisible, He called the visible. Everything God created, He took it from the invisible and He made it visible. Father, I pray what is in heaven would come to earth. And God brought what was in heaven to earth through His mighty Word. For by the elders obtained a good report. I don't know about you, but I want to obtain a good report with God. And by that, believing His Word and believing what His Word says and believing what the Word says about God and what the Word says about me. Because it is important what you believe about God, but it is also important what God has said about you. It is so important that you understand what your salvation came because of what you believed about your confession. For by grace are you saved through faith. It's when you confess. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth and believe in thy heart, you have to the aspect of being saved. God provides the grace, you provide the faith. And He has given to every man that measure of faith. So nobody will stand before God and say, I didn't have enough faith to believe for this. Yes, every man has enough faith to believe for this. So at the end of the day, at the end of your life, when it's all said and done, it's going to boil down to the faith you had in God. Every situation, every determinant, every factor, every area of life that you're praying for, believing for, standing for, it's going to boil down to a faith issue. Because God has established it in heaven. How many believe that God is a healer? How many believe that healing is in heaven? And so if God is a healer, then who has to change, us or God? If God is a way maker, then who has to change, us or God? So the reality is at the end of our life, every situation in your life is going to boil down to your faith and how much faith you exercised in that area. What you believe about God is so important, but what you believe about what God has said about you is important. So at some point, you have to believe what God has said about you. Yes. At some point, you have to believe what God has said about you. How many go around? I go around saying this. When I'm down, this is what I say. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I walk around saying that. When I'm going through something, when I'm going through a difficult time, I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. So I walk around saying, I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me. If God be for me, who can be against me? And you've got to begin to get involved in that process of saying, I believe what God has said about me. I can do all things through Christ. Self has something to do with it, brothers and sisters.
Yes.
Bible says that we have to put our hand to something. You have to give God something to work with. One of the greatest things I ever learned is I have to give God something to work with. One of the greatest secrets God ever taught me is give me something to work with. Give me something to work with. See, a lot of people believe in through Christ, but not everybody believes in the I can. Of I can do all things through Christ. Most of us are waiting for God to do some things, or most all things. But I can do, say with me, I can do all things through Christ, who strengthens me. So it is a collaborative effort. Hallelujah. It's a collaborative effort. Have you given God something to work with? See, if the enemy can't attack what you believe about God, he will attack what you believe about you. He will attack what you believe about you. And how many know that depression and oppression and heaviness, and it can come on you about situations in life and overtake you. And pretty soon you can be singing that song with hee-haw, gloom, despair, agony, and all that jazz. And that's the way many times we as Christians, when we go through situations, we let that take over our lives. Put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Lift up your voice to God. So it's interesting. What do you believe about yourself? I honestly believe that many times, because we won't believe what God has said about us, and we won't act on that, we get frustrated with God because we don't see a manifestation of what we're believing for and standing for, praying for. And after a while, how many know that you can get weary in well-doing? Anybody know you can get weary in well-doing, or is that just Pastor Steve? Well, I'm here to tell you that you can, and that's why Paul says, do not get weary in well-doing. God, we ain't going to mess this. Manifest this situation. We're going to manifest yourself in this mess. And I don't know about you, but I'm believing God for big things. I'm believing God for those things that are above and beyond what I could think, ask, or hope. I'm believing for God for doing things that He has promised or spoken in a word over my life and over your life, that the end of my life, the outcome of my life, is going to be greater than my latter days will be greater than the former days. I'm believing that. One reason I believe that is because I'm smarter than I used to be. Go with me back to Ephesians chapter 2. And I'm just going to read it. For by grace are ye saved through faith. Everybody say, through faith. So you had something to do with it. God provided the grace. You provided the faith. You enacted your faith. You know, there are going to be people that get to heaven that realize that God's grace was there, but they never acted in faith to take it and receive it and let that become their salvation. For by grace are you saved through faith, not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So it all came by faith. Say, it came by faith. So your salvation came through faith. I say our galvanization comes through faith. And so faith is not just, it's for your salvation, but it is also to sustain you in life. The just shall live by faith. We walk by faith, not by sight. So faith is something that God has given us that sustains us. It doesn't just save us, it sustains us in our walk with God. So all things that are visible came from the invisible. So by faith, it is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence. So faith is something I need to get a hold of in my life. Sometimes I think that we think, Lord, my promises are barren, unfulfilled, gone, never going to happen. But how many know that your God is a suddenly God? How many know that your God is a suddenly God? He can make a way out of no way. He can just show up in the middle of nowhere. He can show up when you're driving down the road and you're asleep, literally asleep at the road, and have an angel lift your head. I know God can just suddenly show. I've seen Him show suddenly. And so as we look in Hebrews, what we find out is that all of the progenitors of faith and all the fathers of faith, the men and women of faith, and what I love about Hebrews, there's men in it, there's women in it. God says, I don't care. I'm not a respecter of persons. And this was written in a misogynistic society when women really didn't have many rights. And God said, there are women that were so faithful, I'm going to put them in the Hall of Fame. And I love it that Sarah's in there. I love it that Rahab's in there. I love it that there's four women in the Hall of Faith. That's just amazing to me. So Hebrews 11, and I believe is one of the most important chapters written in the Bible. It's so conceptual in relation how it brings the fact that out of Judaism God brought Christianity, out of Judaism God brought tradition of the law and man, and said it's all been fulfilled through Jesus Christ, and now we've been set free from the law of sin and death. And how many, praise God, you don't have to take a lamb to Jerusalem every year today in this life. I don't have to hop on a plane with a lamb and go to Jerusalem today. My lamb has already gone there one time on Calvary. And the greatest thing, one of the greatest things that Hebrew teaches us is this. And it clearly showed that in this new thing that God was doing, and this new thing that God had done, it was rooted in an old thing. The new thing, the church that God had done, and the church that God had birthed, God had rooted it in Judaism. It had come out of Judaism. So it clearly shows us this new thing God had done was rooted in an old thing. Say, a new thing can come out of an old thing. Amen. God said, I'm going to spring forth out of this old thing. And it took a while to convince a lot of Judaism of this message, and we're still trying to convince them today of this incredible work that God has done, and it came out of Judaism. And how many understand that the New Testament has to have the Old Testament to stand? You've got to understand that. It does. And the New Testament is written upon the concepts and the precept of the Old Testament. In fact, in that one teaching series we did, we looked at all of the Old Testament that was in the New Testament. You take the New Testament, Old Testament out of the New Testament, it just guts it. It's amazing. And Jesus said, and it is written, Paul, when he says it is written, Timothy, Paul, I all say, when it is written, it is always, where was it written? Back in the Old Testament.
That's right.
I got news for you. This is one book about Jesus Christ. I can find Jesus in Genesis as well as I can find him in Revelation. In fact, you can turn anywhere there and I'll point where Jesus is in the Old Testament. So it means God brings something new out of something old. The book of Hebrews, how many knows what it's called by theologists? No, it's called the book of better things. It's called the book of better things. In Hebrews, there are 13 better things that are mentioned in Hebrews. It's called the book of better things. Say with me, the book of better things. Ooh, I like that. The book of better things. That's what it's called. The book of better things. In Hebrews 1:4, it says Jesus Christ was made so much better than the angels. Hebrews 6:9, we are persuaded of better things for you. God says, I have a better end for you. Hebrews 7:7, the blessed is better of the better. It's a better priesthood that God has given us. In bringing you a better hope, we have a better hope. Hallelujah. The surety of a better covenant. Hallelujah. We're established on better promises. Hallelujah. Jesus was a better sacrifice, is what it says in Hebrews 8:6. In Hebrews 10:4, it says, heaven is a better enduring substance. They have a better future in Christ. That they obtain a better resurrection in Christ in Hebrews 11:35. Hebrews 11:40, he provided something, a better thing, which is the Word of God. And the blood, oh, I love this one, Hebrews 12:14, the blood speaks better thing than Abel's blood, which I spoke on last week.
Yes.
Better things, say better things with me today. So to understand faith, you've really got to understand faith is the currency of heaven. Faith is the currency of the kingdom of God. It's not money, it's faith. It's not money, it's faith. It's not money, it's faith. So to understand that, I got a dollar bill here. And this is just cloth and paper, that's all it is. One of the things that was fascinating, a few years ago when Ken and I were in D.C., we went through the place where they made print money. And I was just fascinated at all that. And, you know, the machines and the ink and all the people working in there. And then they gave a disclaimer that they pay you. If you ever want to make amazing money, go work at the United States Treasury. They pay you so much money, you're not tempted to steal the money you make. That's a fact. They pay you so well, you're not even tempted to steal the money you make there. But in the process of that, we got to understand currency, because currency is something in the kingdom of God that you have to have. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. This says that this note is legal tender for all debts, public and private. This note is legal tender for all debts, public and private. The reality is, I can't eat this. I can't drive it. I can't wear it. Right? So I can't eat it, I can't drive it, I can't wear it. Wonder what I can do with it. I can't live in it. But I can trade this for something I can eat. For something I can live in, something I could drive. Something I could wear. So faith is the currency of heaven. And it is. Then faith has got to be one of the greatest aspects of our life in relation to how we look at our eternity, how we look at our reality, that if I'm living and trusting God with faith, faith can carry the day. Faith can carry the situation. Faith says, I may not see it, but I know it's going to happen. Faith says, I may not hear it yet, but I know God can do it. Faith says, with God, all things are possible. Faith is what will get you through. So faith is a currency that God requires. Without faith, it's what to please God?
Impossible.
So it's the meeting and exchange between us and God. For by grace are you saved through
faith.
Your salvation came through faith. And the reality is, what this is in the natural, faith is in the spiritual. Faith is in the spiritual. Amen? So faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. It is literally what God says is the title deed to what you're hoping for and believing for.
Right.
It's the title deed. That's what that means in the Hebrew. It's the title deed to what you're hoping for and believing for. Say with me, it's the title deed.
It's the title deed.
To what I'm hoping for,
and
believing for,
and standing for.
So then we go all through chapter Hebrews 11 in the chapter, and we go through just a litany of all the great men and women of faith and what they did, taking kingdoms down, securing kingdoms, killing giants, all that they did in faith and through faith in God was its amazing thing. So God is saying to us today, if faith is the currency of heaven and you don't have faith or not living by faith, you're spiritually bankrupt. If you don't have faith, you're spiritually bankrupt. Because it gives God no room to operate. By faith, Abel walked and sacrificed unto the Lord. By faith, Enoch walked before the Lord. By faith, Noah built an ark unto the saving of his family. By faith, Abel sacrificed, worshiped God. By faith, Enoch walked with God. By faith, Noah built with God. Every aspect of life requires faith. And we go through this and we look at all the things these amazing people. Can you imagine Noah, God coming to Noah and say, I want you to build an ark. What's an ark? Because it's going to rain. What's rain? Because it's going to flood. What's a flood? None of that had ever been seen on the earth. The earth was watered by dew and mist that came up out of the ground. There had never been rain. And God comes up and He says, I want you to build an ark. And Noah does it. But the Bible says He did it by faith. Faith can make you do some amazing things. So I don't know about you, but I don't want to be spiritually bankrupt, and I want to have faith for what God has for me. It's the only currency God will accept. I remember one time years ago, I was watching an amazing pastor, and he was talking, and he said something that stung me. He said, faith is what God accepts, not your tears. Not your crying. Not your belly aching. Not your murmuring. Not your complaining. Oh, man, that's a tough gospel. But you know what I found out? He's exactly right. Faith is what God's accept. How many of you go to a restaurant and you get something and buy it? How many know there's the medium exchange is going to be cash, credit card, or some type of currency?
Yeah.
God said, faith is what I accept. Faith is what I accept. Faith is what I accept. And I praise God that there's a currency that's real and tangible, and it's a substance that God said, it's available.
Yeah.
It would be mean for God to say, I need you to trust me by faith and not give me a measure of faith. He said, I've given you the measure of faith, Stephen. He said, the reality is your faith is only as strong as you use it. It's like a muscle.
Yeah.
It's like a muscle. So faith is the currency. How do I get more faith? Well, you all know how to go down to the bank and get money out of the bank, don't you? We all know how to do that. But how do you get faith? How do you get more faith? No, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So if you're in a fight and you're, it's a faith fight and you need more faith, I'm going to tell you where you're going to get it. Sunday morning. I'm going to tell you where you're going to get it. Sunday morning. Faith cometh by what? Hearing. And hearing what? That's why you need to be in church. You're in a faith fight. I don't care who you are. Everybody in here is in a faith fight for something. Everybody's in a faith fight for something. I guarantee you. I know it just is what it is. So faith cometh by hearing. And hearing by the Word of God. Hearing by the Word of God. Here. Have you ever realized that deaf people have a hard time speaking? Anybody know what I'm talking about? If you deal with deaf people, they can't speak right. I'm not making fun of them, but why is it they can't speak right? Because they can't hear. They can't hear. So hearing the Word of God changes the level of your faith. Hearing the Word of God. Because the reality is speech is predicated upon and correlated between what you hear and what you say. Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So if doubt is in your heart, doubt will be in your speech. If hate is in your heart, hate will be in your speech. Gossip is in your heart, gossip will be in your speech. Jealousy is in your heart, that'll be. Lust in your heart, that'll be in your speech. Your tongue tells me what's in your heart. Your tongue tells me if you're spiritually bankrupt. Because when you live by faith, you believe that with God, all things are possible. When you live by faith, you know that with God, God can do all things. You know the greater is He that's in me than He that... You know God's Word. Faith changes the way you speak. It changes the way you think. It changes the way you talk. Hebrews 11:8. Let's go there. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for inheritance, obeyed, and he went out not knowing whether he went. Not knowing whether he went. Not knowing. I want to read that again. By faith, Hebrews 11:8. Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive. Everybody say with me. Which he should after receive. For an inheritance. He went out not knowing whether he went. And he was galled to go into a place he should afterward receive for an inheritance. Stop. Right there. Write this down. Visitation. Visitation. This is important. This is important. God will let you visit what you're going to own. My God, I hope you just heard well. God will let you visit what you're going to own. God will let me and my wife visit a great marriage so we can one day own a great marriage. Woo! Hallelujah! Do you understand what I'm just telling you? Are you talking? You all talking about money? God will let you visit places that you're going to own. God told Abraham, I want you to go sojourn in this land after which you will receive as an inheritance. Is that what your Bible says? So God says, I'm going to let you visit what you're going to own. I'm going to let you visit what you're going to own. I'm going to let you visit what you're going to... My God. My God. You girls need to go watch a good love story. Go visit what you're about to own. Go visit what you're about to own. My goodness. I watch hunting shows because one day I'm going to visit what I'm going to own. I watch fishing shows because I'm going to visit what I'm going to own. Many times we don't believe God wants to bless us at a level that is above and beyond what we could ask, think, hope, or believe. Many times we don't. Boys, you got that first PowerPoint up there? This is a property map of someplace in Linden here. And years ago, in my wilder and younger days, I was at a meet and greet place. And they stayed open till 1. And my girlfriend told me, she said, we need to, would you, Stephen, would you take, I forget her name, would you take Libby, that was her name, Libby, would you take Libby home? I'm like, oh. I had other things on my mind. And the reality was, I said, okay, what, here in Pine Top? And she said, no, Pine Top. I said, oh, Sholo, no, Sholo. I said, where? She said, Linden. I said, oh, Linden. We got our show back in 1977. Linden wasn't even on the map. There wasn't, Cheney Ranch wasn't here. There was nothing out here in Linden. In fact, when after you went with Hogwash, we never came after dark. There was banjo music, and it was scary, so we never came out here after dark. And she said, can you take Libby? And I'm like, oh, Terry, I don't want to do that. Oh, my. And so you know how it is. Okay, give me the car. It's a long drive. It's a long drive from Pine Top to Linden. No, in the dark with elk and deer, it's longer than that. And I'll never forget, we were just driving and driving, and, you know, Terry could tell I'm just upset, and I never told you about her. Anyway, the reality is, just before I ever met her, don't judge me. And the reality is, we ended up taking her to a little place called Tom and Libby's Auto Repair. And I said, there's an auto repair in Linden? There's only three people that live here. What you guys don't understand, that road was not paved until 1970. That's a fact. When I was in high school, in a freshman high school in 1972, we were going to go play Payson in basketball in December. And that's when it used to really snow here. They had paved the road, but because there were so few people out here, they wouldn't plow it. So we had to go to Snowflake and to Heber and then down to Payson. Because we were all excited we were going to get to drive on the new road, but they hadn't plowed it. There was nobody out here. And I remember thinking, Lord, why would anybody live in Linden? And I told the gal, I said, man, you live out in the middle of sticks, out in the middle of nowhere. Why are you out here? She said, well, this is just where my husband and I found this shop and we bought it. He's in auto repair. And I said, I made this statement. I would never live in Linden. You heard the banjo music too, didn't you? Yes, you did. I made a statement, I'll never live in Linden. And we dropped her off, and I honestly opened the door and kicked her out, and I'm like, just get out, I gotta go. And every time I drove by that place, I would say, who wants to live out here? Say with me, God will let you visit what you're about to own. This was Tom and Libby's Auto Repair. This is Linden Mini Storage. God will let you visit. And you can be in a strange place and not even understand the blessing. And right now, you can be in a situation where you're totally not understanding. It seems like such a strange place, God. But I want to tell you today, there are a bunch of Ruths in here that you are gleaning in a field. And Naomi has told you, you go pray. You go believe. You go stand. You go pick up. Do you know Israel had a law out of Leviticus that when the reapers went through and they gleaned, what was dropped on the ground had to be left for the beggars? And Naomi told Ruth, why don't you start gleaning it? And she was down there scavenging like the beggars of Israel. Scavenging like the beggars. Hand and knee. Living hand to foot with Naomi. Not knowing that the very field she was gleaning in a few days, she was going to own it. In a few days, my God, she was going to own the field she was begging in. In a few days, your kids might be in church at the altar. In a few days, you have no idea that God can do in a suddenly moment. In a suddenly moment. Say with me, suddenly moment. Guys, where's the next one? In 2000... summer of 2000, I had lost my job. I was back in construction. I hated it. I'd gone from working with my mind to having to work with my back. And I was working for a company, and we built a house right here. Really nice home. Probably a $300,000, $400,000 home. And that whole summer, I was frustrated and angry. And wondering, God, where are you? And I'm in a difficult place. And sometimes when you're in a difficult place, you just got to keep on keeping on. And faith is what will do it. Faith is what will keep you keeping on. Because the Bible said that Sarah, even when she was past the age of childbearing, when she was past age, the Bible said she believed in God's ability. Not her ability, she believed in God's ability. She had faith in God's ability. In the process of building this house, there's a bunch of land over here, and there's a really nice house on there, and everybody knew there's a... The guy that owned that, he was a rich old guy around there, and he built a bunch of condos across the street and all that area over there. And we would sit there and eat lunch and you know, just look over on this property, and it's like, wow, that's an amazing property. We knew he's very wealthy. Didn't know much about him, other than he's a big-time developer. He owned land all over Pine Top Lakeside. Oh, unbelievable amount of land he owned. And we would just sit there and look over at his amazing place. All summer. You guys, go to that next one. In 1994, my father passed away. And that was one of the hardest things I ever went through. And God got me through it. And God brought me out of it. And how many knows that God told Abraham that your descendants will sojourn in the land for 400 years. But he said after 400 years, they will come out. What's the rest of it? With great substance. They will come out with great substance. They will come out with You guys say it like you don't believe it. They will come out with great substance. I'm here to tell somebody today what you're going through, the hell that you're going through, the issues you're going through. When you come out of it, God's going to bring you out with great substance. God's going to bring you out with great, amazing substance. And that's for somebody here in this room. Well, needless to say, it took me 3 years to decide, you know, agree to be the pastor. I told them, no, we ain't going to do that. And so we brought other guys in, you know, from Phoenix, and we brought one guy. I mean, he was good, but he's like, I don't want to live up here. I'm like, this is heaven on earth. Well, not everybody believes this is heaven on earth. I finally found that out. And his wife really didn't want to live here, but he was a great man of God. And I'm like, oh, this is the man. And it wasn't the man. In fact, one day I came late and we hadn't met yet. And I snuck in the back door because I just didn't want to be there. And I snuck in the back door, and after church was over, he went to my mom. He said, who's that guy that walked in the back door there? And she says, I don't know. I didn't see him. He said, well, he's hiding in that room there. So my mom went back there, and she said, well, that's my son. He said, that's your pastor. Whoever he is, I don't know who he is, but that's your pastor. That's exactly how I ended up being the pastor here. Kid you not. So when God does that stuff, what do you do? Okay, that's what you do. He don't know me from Adam. So the neighborhood that we lived in, it was where the church was. It got really run down. It got really, really run down. On the east side of us was a trailer park, and it was full of druggies and a lot of other stuff. What I call nefarious activity. And on Sunday mornings, we'd go into church and we'd hear the music playing, and you name the word, the cuss word, and that's what we'd hear walking into church. And the city show would try to deal with the owner about it, and the owner's like, you can't make me do anything. And so we'd live with that. Then they started making the church a playground. They're kids. So I said, well, let's put up a fence and we'll keep them out. You know what a fence is for a kid? A ladder.
Yeah.
It's a ladder. So there's Assembly God Church right here behind, over on the other side of that. There was a parsonage. And the pastor there, he was a good friend of my dad's and became a great friend of mine. And he would come over and run the kids off the church. They broke windows and everything. We had a guy staying there, but he turned out to be an alcoholic, and my wife caught him, and so he was gone. And one day he called me and said, Steve, I just called the cops. You got kids on the church building. Running off, jumping off the church building and dunking the basketball on the basketball hoop. And he said, I asked the show of police to do something about it, and they told us it's private property. It's up to the church to deal with that. So I prayed about it. We had a meeting about it. I called my sister. She's an attorney. And I said, sis, this is what we got going on. These kids use our facility for a playground. So then now they're on the roof, running, jumping off the roof. And this is not that property. And dunking the basketball. I said, if they get hurt, are we responsible? And guess what she said?
Yes.
Guess what she said?
Yes.
Yeah, you're responsible. 100%. I said, we got signs posted. Guess what?
100%.
I said, we have a pastor that comes over there and tells them to get out. They know not to come. So we sold the building. And everybody in town said, you'll never sell that building. I'm serious. I met with one of the ex-mayors of City of Sholo. He wanted me to do his funeral because he said, I don't like the pastor where I go to church. I want you to do my funeral, Steve. Swear to God. You can't believe what we run into as pastors. He said, I want you to do my funeral. I said, well, I know your pastor. I'm really not going to get crossways with him. He says, well, I can't stand him. I want you to do my funeral. He said, by the way, you're never going to sell that church property. He said, everybody in town knows you got it for sale and you're never going to sell it. Guess what?
No.
Guess what?
No.
So we begin to pray and seek God. God, what do we do? God, what do we do? God, what do we do? The Lord led us and directed us to buy this piece of property over on Shoal Lake. And we bought it in 1999 for $195,000. Do you know how much $195,000 was to a green, non-investor, non-business-minded guy like myself? But one day I was sitting at a road, and God told me, it was so clear, He said, buy the property! I'm not serious. I'm not kidding you. It was serious. God said, buy the property, that property. And it was one of the hardest decisions I'd ever made. Because God had not made me yet a businessman. God has since then made me a de facto businessman. And now I can buy and sell property with anybody. I don't need a realtor. I know how to do it. God has showed us how to do that. We do it. We buy property, sell property. If you're a realtor, don't be offended. But God taught me how, and we learned how to do all this kind of stuff. So we bought the property. Everybody say 1999. 2006, we almost sold this property for $1 million. Is that a fact? We had a company come up from Phoenix. They wanted to build 72 condominiums on it because we had got it rezoned R27 in the city of Sholo. We know how to do all that. Got it rezoned R27, which means you can put multifamily dwellings. And they believed, even with that price tag, their ROI, return on investment, would have been over 15% or better, which is what you're looking for when you're investing money. They were willing to pay us. Then how many remember the crash? Anybody remember the crash? Did the crash affect anybody in this room? Steve, would you give me some water? And so for 10 years, this property just sat there. This spring, the Lord told me, put a new sign on that property. We put a new sign on that property. Then we begin to pray in intercessory prayer group for that property to sell. And we prayed, and we prayed, and we prayed, and we prayed some more. By faith, where are my intercessors? By faith. Thank you, Steve. We kept praying by faith, God, you need to sell this property because we can sell this property. And then we can take that money and go build a new church out here. What do you do when God does something bigger and better and above and beyond what you could ask, think, or hope? You pray. You pray. You pray. You pray. Say it with me. You pray. You pray. So I get a call from a guy. He says, hey, he says, I see you got some property there for sale. He says, what are you asking for 6.45 acres? Bare land. Now, there is the infrastructure there for what was going to go in there with those condominiums. See, I didn't know I was going to get a business lesson. This is a God lesson. How many know that God cares about every area of your life?
Yes.
He cares about your finances, your marriage, your children. God cares about every area of your life.
Yes.
So guy calls me up. He says, hey, I know you guys got this property for sale. And it's this church right here. We really need that property. How much are you asking? You're not going to believe what I told him.
2.5 million.
Jesus, give me faith. Okay, I'm going to explain something. Property values haven't come back like they did in between 2000 and 2006. They're not back. So this is bare land. Bare land. We got a fire hydrant on there. We got some infrastructure for us. There's power there and all that stuff. When we bought the property, there was a ditch dug down here all the way down for a sewer line through that solid Malapai rock. And when we bought the property, the guy told us, I need you to pay for that because I paid a bunch of money to dig that ditch. So he says, what are you asking for that property? I said, $750,000. That's a lot of money to me. That's a lot of money for bare property. That's a lot of money for bare property. I don't know what that is per acre, but it's a lot. 100 and something. He said, well, we're interested in your property. He said, could we meet? Said, yeah. So we went over there to the property, church property. We're sitting there, and I called the guy. He's late, and he says, I want to talk to you about a deal. Well, I'm a deal guy. I'm a deal. The greatest deal ever in this world was Jesus Christ has made the deal with His Father. I'll go to Calvary for them. The Bible calls it a ransom. Redemption. God made a deal for you. He bought you out of pawn. So he says, what if we did a trade on property? I said, man, we need the cash. How many know cash is king?
Yeah.
Say it with me, cash is king.
Cash is king.
No, you're lying. Jesus is king.
Right.
I'm messing with you. Cash is king. Jesus is king. He said, I want to see if you guys would be interested in another property. He said, I don't think that's really what we're interested in. Him that is able to abundantly above all you could ask, think, hope. 6.45 acres here. Say with me, 6.45 acres. How many know God still does miracles?
Yes.
How many know God's still working in the earth?
Yes.
I said, well, we'll look at it. We drove over there and looked at it, and whoa, doctor. 9.74 acres. 9.74 acres. $500,000 home on it. Got a well on it. You know how much a well costs to drill today? 650 feet yeah. through solid Malapai rock today? And he said, would you guys be interested in trade? Guys, go back to that other picture, Scott. This is the house I built in 2000. This is the property I'm talking about. God will let you visit what one day you're going to own. God will let you visit. My wife and I went and we visited some people that had amazing marriages. Pretty soon we had an amazing marriage. I read some books about how to be a great father. Pretty soon I was a great father. When we were building this house that summer, we'd look over there and see all that going on over there. It's like, man, that's really a nice place. But it's owned by a real rich guy. And you know, and more power to him. I rich people don't bother me at all. Poor man can't give me nothing. So the reality is, we watched that and looked at that, and it was amazing property. So we walked the whole property. Deer on the property, big buck deer on the property. I lost it. So would you guys be willing in a trade? Straight across trade. Everybody say straight across trade. Yes. So my first question was, well, hold it. This is too good to be true. I need to go talk to the city guys and say, what's wrong with this property? So I went down to the city. What's wrong with this property? You know what the city guy told me? You idiot. You need to buy that property. That's what he told me. City manager Schogel. He said, my gosh. He said, I know that guy. I know the house. I know everything about that property. They want us to trade? So I had to check some other things. How many ever, there's a word called due diligence.
Yeah.
What, they got arsenic in the well?
Yeah.
No arsenic in the well. This is too good to be true. God, what's the deal here? So we said, yeah, we'll trade 6.5 acres with nothing on it for 9.74 acres with a $500,000 home and probably $125,000, $130,000 well. And it's fenced the whole way around. Fenced the whole way around. So the day I went down to the title company, and I know it's Communion Sunday, but I think you'll be interested in this. I walked into the title company, and the lady said this. She said, "Steve, I need to talk to you." She said, "Tell me about this deal again." She said, "How much money is Bible Chapel?" That's our corporation, Bible Chapel Corporation. "How much money is Bible Chapel Corporation adding to this? Because this does not pair up apples to apples." She said, "Their property is worth so much more than yours. How much money are you guys bringing in to pay the difference?" And she said, "I've estimated $175,000 to $200,000. She said, that would just make it get it close. And I told her, I said, "Ma'am, the deal is we're trading 6.5 acres with nothing on it for 9.74 acres with that house and that well and everything else they got on there." And I can tell you before God, this is what she did. Everybody say, "This is God.
This is God.
This is God."
This is God.
In 1999, guys, go back to that. We bought this in 1999. 21 years. We have waited for God to move. Everybody say, 21 years.
21 years.
You know how long Sarah and Abraham waited for Isaac? 25. I'm telling you, you need to get ready if you're in this church. God is doing suddenly right now. If you're in this church, get ready for suddenly. If you're in this church, get ready for suddenly. Fear not. If you're in this church, get ready for suddenly. If you're in this church, get ready for suddenly. Now, I can't tell you all these 21 years I have been God's man of faith and power for the hour about that property. I can't lie and tell you that. There's days it was, "Lord." But I can tell you I was faithful enough that we never just sold it off and got rid of it and had the money. I knew somehow, some way God was going to honor that. And the money that bought this was from my mother and father in the church my father built in Shiloh. That's the money that bought that property. And this property that we bought for $195,000 in 1999. Okay, guys, go to the other one. We traded that 6.5 acres for, which we bought for $195,000. We traded for this 9.74 acres, which 4 years ago was appraised at $1.2 million. No, that's a hallelujah.
Yeah.
My God. We put $195,000 in that old property, and God just gave this church. We own it outright today. We own 9.74 acres on that property worth $1.2 million today.
Amen.
Give God a praise.
Amen.
My God. Give God a praise. It's all God. It's all God. It's all God. But somebody has to hang in with faith sometimes. You've got to give God something to work with. You've got to give God something to work with. So today I'm here to tell you, don't give up. Don't lose hope. You keep praying. You keep believing. And when you're in doubt and wavering, give me a call and I'll tell you the story again. Give me a call and I'll relay the story again. So today I want to tell you Bible Chapel owns that property. Now, what are you going to do, Pastor Steve? What are you going to do? I'm going to pray.
Yeah.
I'm getting on my knees, and I'm going to fast, and I'm going to pray. You want to join me?
Yeah.
21 days?
Yeah.
You have 21-day fast. You have no idea how brutal that is. It's brutal. No, it's brutal. It ain't hard. It's brutal. But in that process of that, there were two times we did 21-day fasts. Two of them, over a period of 2 different years. We fasted and prayed 21 days. 2 different times. That's 42 days total. Jesus did 40 days all at once. I told Jesus, I did 42 days in 2 years. Give me a break here. Get ready for suddenly. Get ready for suddenly. What you've been believing for, standing for, God says, there's an open heaven over this church. There's an open heaven over this church. Now, you're thinking, well, Pastor Steve, what makes you say that? Well, I'm going to finish with this. How many know that God will give you prophetic words in your life? How many believe that that's real? It is real.
Yes, He will.
And there was a line in here in this prophetic word. God told me, He woke me up at 3:45 this morning. This is what He said to me. I'm giving you the gates of the city. Now, that's crazy because this prophecy was given in 1997. Sometimes the Word of God can linger. Sometimes it can linger. Sometimes it can even fester. And by that I mean, Lord, I'm frustrated. Lord, I'm so frustrated. How about this maid? How do we have about a baby through this maid, Hagar? And we'll just work that out. How many knows the craziest thing you can do in life is create an Ishmael?
Right. Turn around the promise.
So this morning, 3:45, the Lord woke me up and He said, Stephen, I've given you the gates of the city. I've given you an open heaven, and you means us. And I'm pouring out my anointing on this place. And I told the Lord, you've told, what's that? Oh, it's back on the wall. Okay. And so, for years I told the Lord, I don't even know what that means. The Lord told me, everything I've given you has gates. Everything I have given you has gates. Everything I have given you have gates. You go down to my business and storage, you'll find there's two gates there. You go where I live, you'll find there's two gates. You go over to this new property, you'll find there's two gates there. And I told the Lord, what are you talking about? He said, you even got a gate on Living Faith Church right out there.
Yeah.
And you know why we put that gate there? Not to keep the riffraff out. We had people using the front porch as a restroom. Kid you not. And there were times that I drove up, I wasn't very Christian. When you're going number one right by my porch. That we were dealing with that constantly. We're dealing with people camping here. We're dealing with people changing their baby diapers everywhere. And the thing that really chapped me the most was the young kids that come in here and spin Brodies in their car. Man, I don't know about you, but man, I turned into my father on that one. But God is about ready to open the heavens for you. God is ready to open the heavens in your life.
Hallelujah.
Everything that God has done, I'm going to tell you, it's all God. It's not me. It's all God. It's all God. One time I told God, I'm not smart enough to do any of this. That must be why you use me, because I'm just stupid enough to do whatever you tell me to do. That's a joke. But honestly, I'm not that stupid. But honestly, there's things God has told me to do that I just, okay, we'll do it. I want you to buy that land. Now, we wrestled with that one, but we did. Only God can take. My God can take 195,000 and turn it into a whole lot more. That's my God. That's my God. That's my God. That's my God. Now, why is this so important, Pastor Steve? Let me tell you why it's so important. By faith, Abraham, verse 8, Hebrews 11, 8, when he was called to go out into a place that he should afterward receive as an inheritance, God will let you visit what you're going to own. Say that with me. God will let you visit what you're going to own. By faith, verse 9, he sojourned in the land of promise as what was a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise.
Yes.
My God, my God, my God. The heirs with Abraham of the same promise.
Yes.
I got news for you. Your children's children's children are begging and hoping that you have a life in God that's going to bless their life one day. Do you know the Bible says in Hebrews that Levi paid tithes while he was in the loins of Melchizedek. That's the money. It's Hebrews 7. Hebrews 7. Hebrews 7, this is the most amazing scripture in the Bible. Paul says that Levi paid tithes while he was in the DNA of Abraham. That's what it says. Isn't it my right? It's in Hebrews 7. Dang, I'm pretty sure it's 7. Levi paid tithes. You have no idea the effect you're playing and the effect you're creating on your children's 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 children.
Right.
My God. Your children are begging, your grandchildren are begging, your great-grandchildren are begging. Do what God says to do.
Yes.
Amen.
Levi paid tithes while he was in the loins of... Is that in Hebrews 7? What, 10? Somewhere. 8? Start with 8, 9, 10. Think about that. Your children are going to inherit the blessings or not of your life. That's an amen. Because my Bible says if I live right before God, it's going to affect my children's 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 children. And her children will rise up and call her blessed. Blessed. Get ready for suddenly. Now faith. Now faith. Now faith is. Now. Get ready. Get ready. Get ready. Get ready. 21 years. God, what? I don't know what. Who? You want to sell that property? Okay. And then God says, no, I'm not going to sell the property. I'm going to give you more property. I'm going to give you more property.
Yeah.
And it's going to have an unbelievable house on it. It's going to have an unbelievable well on it. It's going to be full of deer and elk. And I'm going to be the game warden. Now, right now, I can tell you, I don't know what God wants us to do. I don't. But I can tell you, I'm going to get on my knees, and I'm going to pray, and you can join and pray with me. And we're going to intercede about this as to what God says to do. Because I'm not going to do a Stephen thing. It's going to be a God thing. Because I've lived long enough to know in God that a good thing is not necessarily a God thing. And Stephen has a lot of good ideas. But it's got to be a God idea. It's got to be a God idea. Bow your heads with me as we get ready to take communion. Because today, I'm going to tell you right now, there's an open heaven. You need to get ready for suddenly. In fact, in Isaiah 43, it says, behold, I do a new thing. And Isaiah says this, and you don't perceive it? Open your perceptors right now.
Yes.
Open your perceptors right now. As you take communion right now, you begin to thank God for that thing you've been believing for, standing for, praying for, agreeing for. Open the eyes of your understanding about that right now. So we go into this time of worship. Go ahead and start the music, guys. Jerry, if you guys will pass. We're just going to worship the Lord while they pass the elements. And then we will take together collectively.